Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, I am Barbara White, and you are listening to the Accepted As I Am radio blog show. I am so grateful that you are giving this time to yourself, to your heart, and really allowing yourself through the process of self-love and self-acceptance to become the next greatest version of yourself. So if you called to find how to fix your brokenness or how to just get some conceptual ideas that you can just chew around in your mind and not really allow that next calling, that next growth to emerge through you, then you want to tune out right now. And the reason why I say that, because self-acceptance and self-love is not some mushy, squishy, contemplating your navel kind of thing. Self-love and self-acceptance is really a courageous, courageous soul act to do. To look within and say, okay, I really care about what people think. I really care about being right. I mean, that runs people's life beyond belief. Carolyn Miss, David Icke, so many different teachers will echo that message. But to really look within and to, as my teacher, Dr. Beckwith, says, be at the tribunal of your own consciousness. I love that statement, tribunal of your own consciousness. But to be at that tribunal with compassion, to really admit what's there. So self-love and self-acceptance is powerful. It's powerful, powerful, powerful. And it requires that courage to really face what is there. So it's not about just getting some conceptual ideas and saying, oh, this is nice. I think I'll just put a Band-Aid on what's going on in my life or just kind of ponder this cutesy idea. This is really about looking within. I mean, if you can take just that from today and say, you know, I really got to admit what's there. How much am I caring about what people think? How much am I caring? How much of my life is being ruled by looking good? How to navigate through this situation and how to look good. And that those two things rule. Part of being an intuitive, part of having, since I was a child, the ability to hear people's thoughts and feelings, is that rules everybody's mind. How can I navigate through this world and how can I look good? That's it. That rules most of people's thoughts. And then if you really get real with yourself or really, you know, get to that tribunal, you really got to admit how much of your actions, words, the way you dress, the occupation you chose, is really to be in a place of, okay, what does the world think of me? What does my church think of me? What does my boss think of me? What does my parents think of me? And to really know who you are in love, to know who you are in spirit, to know who you are, as I would say, in God. And, of course, when I say God, for me, it's not a God in the sky or a God, that a deity outside of me that I am praying to. It's the God of my being. It's the God that's everywhere in its fullness and not in one place. It's the God that no one has ownership over or possession over. And it's the God that everyone has direct access to, that everyone, every 7 billion people on the planet, are equally God, equally love, and equally capable of being able to connect to that inner voice, that inner God, that inner guidance within them, or what some people call the heart, some people call the gut feelings, some people call intuition, that inner knowing, but everyone has the ability to listen. It's not based on your intelligence, it's not based on your degrees, it's not based on your sex. That inner genius, you know, when you hear that word inner genius, that doesn't mean that you are got a PhD in whatever. Genius comes from that inner voice. Genius comes from that ability to listen to that intuition. Oh, but you can't listen to that intuition if you care what people think. You can't listen to that inner voice if you really can't. You really can't, because when that guidance hits, it's going to go against logic. It's going to go completely against logic. And if you are trapped too much in logic, too much in caring what people think, you can't follow that gut feeling, that inner voice. I'm so grateful that I was such a misfit growing up. You know, I really didn't fit in. I was bullied and teased in sixth grade. I mean, teased. But I'm grateful for that because I think it's what allowed me to be doing, having a healing business, healing work for 11 years, and to have the ability to put into words and into my voice what I hear and what I feel, and for me, I had to learn. And just kind of an identity as the misfit, I had to learn how to play well with others again, how to come back into community and have friends and all that great stuff, which I am so grateful for the circle of friends that I have today. But it wasn't for me. It wasn't until my 30s that I really was able to cultivate deep friendships. I had that spiritual voice, that intuition that I was using to help people. But I had to really get clear of how identified I was with that rebellious misfit identity. You know, we all have an identity or a way that we've identified ourselves that makes us feel safe, and it's not good or bad. It just works. You know, this identity, you could call it a limited self-identity, yes, but it worked. Like for me, it worked for me, right? It worked. It helped me to modulate, to walk through the world. So even though I'm saying, you know, look within, it's not about going in and just annihilating everything that you think is you. It's looking within and saying, what's working for me? You know, is this really what? First, admit what's there. Admit your motivations. Admit why you're doing what you're doing. And then bring it into acceptance. The formula I like to give people is admit, accept, because anything in judgment can't really heal or transform or really have any good. Once you have judgment, it's like adding dirt to your engine, you know, or dirt to your motor oil. It just doesn't work. So first admit, then acceptance, and then some form of action, whether that action is internal. Now, when we hear action, a lot of people hear action, they think, of course, okay, I got to take a physical action, but this action could be in the mind, too. The mind is a form of action. You know, that's why if we are in fear and we don't want to deal with the fear, our mind will go into a lot of action, and that's called worry. So admit, accept, and then some form of action. So it could be, okay, this is the new choice that I'm making. This is the new choice that I'm having, because choice is always a function of acceptance. Now, that statement I love that statement. Choice is a function of acceptance. And those of you that have come to workshops or retreats or listen to the shows, you've heard me say that, because in the opposite of acceptance and compassion, people think, they look at people and they say, oh, why are they choosing to do that? Why are they choosing to sabotage themselves? Why are they choosing to, you know, when somebody's not in acceptance, they really don't have choice. Because once you condemn or judge something within yourself, you are really ruled by that judgment. Right? I mean, haven't you seen that in your life? You say, okay, I'm going to change this. But you could feel yourself kind of beaten up on yourself. And then how effective is it for you to actually make that change? Or you see yourself do something in your past, but you're still kind of condemning yourself, and you say, okay, I'm not going to do that again. But that condemning or that judging of yourself actually is a way to guarantee that you will do it again. Because judgment, something to understand, there's no stronger focusing energy than judgment. You know, why is it in all the teachings, all the different many spiritual paths to knowing who you truly are in God, whether it be meditation or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever, Christianity, you know, if you look, there's that idea or that principle of witnessing, being the compassionate witness, being the non-judgmental witnessing. And so when you look at that and you say, okay, why is that? there's many reasons, but just one of them. So there's many, but going into just one of them. But the one is because judgment has a strong energy to it. And you can feel when people are judging you, right? And people do judge. You know, that's just part of our nature. But, you know, it's a nature we want to be able to, we have an ability to heal. We have the ability to bring that nature into a greater wholeness, to bring that ego into essence, as a great teacher, Barbara Marx Hubbard, puts it. And so when we bring that local self or the ego self, as she would put it, into that essential self, that spiritual self, we begin to break that habit of judging. the habit of always putting a label on things within herself and others. So, circling back, again, you have joined the Accepted As I Am Blog Talk Radio show on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And joining us later will be Lynn Warrington. And I just want to congratulate Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, which has now, I think, is well over 1,000 listeners. So people listening in archives, which is very exciting. There's such a renaissance, a rebirth that's happening. There's a world coherence that is happening. There's a world birth that is happening. And I'm so excited of what's evolving on the planet. I'm so excited. We are waking up as a world and really seeing that we are more than this. We are more than this body. We are more than what we've been telling ourselves. And we're really ready for a greater story. That through the process of our inner work and self-love, we know that as we evolve our soul, we're not doing that just so we can gratify ourselves or contemplate our navels. We're doing that because we know that when we change, the world changes. We know that as we evolve our soul, as we grow and change, we're like tuning forks. There's a person that's going to be taking my self-acceptance teacher's program. His name's Todd. And I don't know if he'd like me to say his last name, but I want to give him credit to Todd because he's got a book he's writing on musical, how to attune your instrument. I can't wait to read his book. It's going to be great. And this is a common knowledge in music, but he's writing a chapter on this, and I don't know the whole chapter, but the piece that he was sharing with me is how if you were to pluck a string on an instrument, the other strings in that instrument and in the room would have to vibrate with that string, and how that one string, that one note, sets the notes for all the other notes played. And so when you vibrate, when you change from within, when you vibrate in the energy of, you know what, I am love. And, you know, I'm not going to buy into all these stories and beliefs I've been telling myself. I'm something far greater. You know what, I'm all right. I'm created in God's image. That's got to mean something. That means that you, yes, the person that's listening to this, you are love. You are beauty. You are joy. And you have a choice. Choice is a function of acceptance. Accept as you accept that, yeah, you have stories. You have pains. We all have pains and suffering. We all sabotage ourselves. As I was saying to somebody in a session the other day, I said, yeah, you know, you hate yourself. But that's not unique. But everybody walks around hating themselves. And it's just really how much is your cover-up plan? How much have you covered up that you don't really like yourself? And the self you don't like is really the false self, the self that you've created for the world to see. So as you realize, as you choose, wow, as you accept and then you act and you say, wow, I'm love, I'm beauty. I'm a representation of the Christ presence. I am a magnificent being, a distribution point of good on the planet. I am here. I don't glorify God by being small and little and belittling myself. I don't glorify God I don't glorify creation, Buddha, by criticizing myself. You glorify the presence by radiating qualities of being intelligent, joy, beauty, confidence. You know, that teaching is so lost. People are so afraid to shine. You know, they've been taught, yes, serve. I think, for me, service is my purpose in life, to give fully of my heart, detach from outcome. But you can only give what you have. You can only give what you've realized within your own being. And realizing that you are God. You are God. Like, there's a cell in your body that represents your whole cell. It doesn't mean you're the universal God. Now, how would you be the universe? You can't be me. You can't be my dog Masa out on the porch. So, meaning you're not the universal God. But you are a complete blessing of God. You are a holographic, meaning we live in a holographic universe, which means that one cell in your body represents the whole you. Or that one atom can represent the whole universe. That's law. That's like, this is, we just see this in science. We see this in physics. And so, you know, it's amazing when people hear that message, you are God, freaks them out. it freaks him out because, like I said, self-love and self-acceptance is not for someone that just wants to, you know, just tell me things that are nice and let me go home and I really don't want my life to change. I really don't want to face these issues that I have in my relationship with myself and with my husband or wife or with my partner or with my children. I really don't want to look at myself. I really don't want to say, wow, it's not about blaming them or blaming me. It's about me taking a radical inventory and admitting that, whew, I've lived my whole life caring what people think. I lived my whole life based on this one belief from my father, from my mother. That one belief. Beliefs are like little contracts that we make with ourselves when we're kids. I had a belief. I remember that this one has changed my life. Limiting belief. One little belief, one little thought. You know when you go back into your life and you can say, wow, there was a moment I said, well, you know, like my friend Dr. Eldridge Huntington, amazing colleague and friend, and he says, I remember sitting at a table and I said I would never, ever, 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 ever eat oatmeal. And now he just can't eat it. He can't even put it to his mouth. And he knows it goes back to that belief. And I remember there was a belief that I had made when I was like 11 or 12, and I looked at some things that were going on in my family with the way the men were treating the women in my family, and I said, I will never let that happen to me. And it was a shell that I put in my heart that since I've cleared it, since I've released it, oh, my God, my whole life has changed. My whole life has changed. And it was that one little belief. It's like that one belief for me, using myself, because I'm always putting myself at the tribunal of my own consciousness. I'm the first person to call me out. anyways, which has always allowed me freedom to be myself, you know. But I was sitting there with that one belief, looking at the men hurting the women in my life. I'm like, I'm never gonna let that happen to me. And I kept on wondering, where's love for men in my life? And then as I got to that belief and I really witnessed it and loved it and healed it, and it took a few months. There was some layers to it. It wasn't all at once. But once I brought that into my heart, once I accepted it, then I had choice. And then my heart opened up. And so then I saw my friendships with men get deeper. And I saw my whole relationships with men change. And then I also saw, interestingly enough, in my career, I saw more men show up for healing work. Because one little belief is like a lens that you place in your energy. You know how a lens cap and a projector, you put it there and it shines out. So one little limiting belief that you're holding could be towards women, men, mom, dad. It's about you. It's not about them, you see. It's about you. And as you are able to witness that belief, now if you go in and you try to reason with that belief, you try to bring logic, because Carolyn Miss has a phenomenal book that I haven't read completely, but I've heard of it and I get the gist of it, and one day I am going to read it because it sounds phenomenal. It's called Defy Gravity. And what she talks about in there is how our whole way of even looking at God and looking at herself is based on logic and reason. She talks about how in the Renaissance, when the church was very superstitious, and how that we then went into a model that of rationalization and reasoning, which helped to bring us out of superstition. And you know, if you want an example of that, when some tragedy or something happens, the first thing we say is, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be logic to it. Or what's the lesson? So we go right into logic, right into what's the reason. And that's not always the wise choice, right? Because that's what keeps people stuck. And as you've heard me say in different shows and workshops and if you've been to retreats, the why or the aha comes in after you've accepted it, after you've surrendered it. And for those of you who like to think and figure things out, you should have that written on your body in ink. And you should have that above every mirror in your house. The why or the aha comes in after you've accepted it or let go. So in her book, Defy Gravity, she says how we are trapped in reason, trapped in logic. And in the traditional therapy model is, too, you go back and you analyze your childhood and you analyze everything and you really are digging, trying to find the answer of why you're hurting. You know, why? Who hurt me? Why is this happening? Now, in the model I use, which I call the self-acceptance process, and I'll talk more, you know, that's what we're talking about here, self-acceptance, self-love, but the self-acceptance process is to bring it up, feel it, not just think it. You know, you're not just, you're feeling it, but you're also witnessing it, loving it. And then in that surrendering, in that feeling with non-judgment and non-reaction, you may just, it's like, as it goes poof and clears, there's a moment that it goes shoo. You feel better, you feel this new version of you come forward. New version of you, what that means is more peace, more joy, more happiness within you. Because that's who you truly are. You're not the roles you play. You're certainly not your body. You're not your gender. These are parts of you. Yes, I'm not so airy fairy to say that these these aren't parts of you. You know, you're like a big tree. And you've got a body and you've got different roles that you play in your life, teacher, mother, father, business owner, accountant, whatever it is. And that reminds me, I got to call my accountant. But okay, I thought I just I'm being silly. Okay, so you've got a big tree, and that's all that is you, right? And so the thing is, though, we get too caught up in the just like two or three branches. We get too caught up. We're scared, you know. We're scared to let go of those two or three branches. I know these roles I play in the world. You know, some of them are not too pretty. I'm a consumer. I'm a victim. I'm a survivor of this suffering. You know, how long do you want to go walking around that you're a survivor? And I'm not, oh, please, I am not dishonoring some of the things people have experienced. You know, the pain, the suffering that people have experienced. I mean, over 25,000 session hours and over 30,000, if you include the retreats, stories that I've heard from people, you know, it's when you hear those stories, you have a deep respect for the human journey. But how long do you want to walk around identified as a survivor, right? Wouldn't you rather be identified as a empowered, magnificent, radiating energy of creation? Or as I tend to identify myself as the hands and feet of God in service to the One. So for me, when I say that, that just lights up my soul. I am the hands and feet of the Divine in service to the One. So again, self-love and self-acceptance is really, you're accepting that humanity to know your divinity. And it's intense. You know, you really do this the rest of your life. It's not something that you just, you know, it's when you really say, okay, God, I'm ready, you know, creation. You know, whether God is nature for you or it's Christ or it's Buddha, however you connect. And you say, you know, use me, I'm ready. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready for my soul's next evolvement. You'll get guidance of what to do. In fact, you may already know it. It's time to leave them. It's time to stop eating blah, blah, blah. You need to go out and do this. Or you need to meditate 20 minutes a day. But your mind will say that's too simple. Or how's that going to happen? Or I'm scared, you know. So again, courage is a big factor in your growth process. There's times when I'm telling you, there's times in publishing now three books and there's the radio show and there's times that I'm scared, I'm shaking, and I just move through it anyways. I admit it's there, I accept it, and sometimes I take that action and I know that it's there and it's okay. Because although I know that I have great gifts to bring to the planet, and I honor the work that God has done through me, as me, and in me, I'm also human, and the next level of my expression is going to bring possibly another intense wave of fear. I haven't had the experience of being a mother yet. I'm probably going to be scared shitless for a while. Now, the difference is, though, because I'm more identified with my spirit versus my human self, it will take me a few hours, maybe a few days to move through it, maybe a week or two, I don't know. But I do know, what I do know is that my commitment to be with it, my commitment to self-love and self-compassion allows me to walk into the world feeling invincible. See, I'm committed to being incredibly gentle with my human self. Are you? See, as I say, okay, whatever comes up, I'm going to be gentle with it. That is a powerful. See, self-love and self-acceptance is powerful. It's powerful, 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 and it takes courage. The world has a completely, see, the world has taken something so sacred and so life-transforming, self-love and self-acceptance, and it's put it into the realm of a Hallmark card. And self-love and self-acceptance are transforming. Anyone that has gone through my 9-month self-acceptance teachers program can tell you that. And not everybody makes it through the end, but those that do, take that principle of self-love and self-acceptance and they apply it to their work. They apply it to themselves, number one, and then they apply it to the work that they're called to do, whether it be yoga or EFT or work with the work in session with people or Reiki. But it gave them the foundation to be able to take that gift within them and really use it in a way that's not just going to confirm someone's brokenness, but to confirm their divinity. So when you commit to self-love and self-acceptance within yourself, and really ask yourself that, you know, if you haven't written it down already, am I committed to being gentle with myself? Now, this isn't all or nothing, right? This takes practice. That it may take you, you know, something comes up that really moves you into a state of feeling like it's a growth process, you feel vulnerable, and you're not so quick to embrace that fear, the insecurity, the vulnerability that's coming up. So, you go a couple days and you go, oh, yeah, be gentle with this. I forgot. And you may be one like myself that tells people all the time that message. But then, you know, a couple hours later, a couple days later, you're like, oh, darn it. I forgot to be gentle with myself. See, gentleness is not weak. Gentleness is power. I feel that's why it's in the term gentleman. Because it's powerful, and you know there's nothing more beautiful, and more I want to say sexy, than a man that's realized that he loves himself, and he's in service to the world. I was at a gathering one time, guys. Tell you a funny story. I'm at a gathering, and it's a service gathering, and there's all these men that are in service, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just like getting so turned on by seeing all these men in service. But, you know, I think there's no greater thing to be turned on by than God and love. And then my other friend shared, my friend who's an amazing psychotherapist and does Thai massage. It's a spirit moves. Her name's Tanya. Check out her work. If you're interested in Thai massage, really, really, I haven't encountered somebody that's as skilled as she is. So Spirit Moves is her website if you want to check her out. So she confirmed that for me. She's like, yeah, this is just, whoo. And in her book, Ego, no, Emergence, Barbara Marx Hubbard, she talks about vocational arousal. I love that word, vocational arousal. And vocational arousal, what that means is when you begin to serve, you begin to, pay attention to that spark and light within you. But two, fully give of yourself and begin to say, God, whatever my gift is, I'm going to start giving it. Yeah, and start giving it without really knowing what it is. Do you hear me? Start giving your gift without knowing what it is. So many people, it's I think the most common thing I get in session is like, what's my gift? What's my purpose? I didn't know what my purpose was when I started to give and serve. I just said, God, use me, use me, use me for the service of the one. And that's what I started with. I started doing homeopathy and acupuncture. And then I realized, oh, I'm meant to be a spiritual teacher. So, you know, it starts with the intention of service. So Barbara Marx Hubbard talks about that vocational arousal and that there's no greater turn-on. Because our sexuality isn't about genitals just rubbing together, by the way. Sexuality, or being turned on by God, is really about feeling, it's about feeling aroused and passionate in your life, that creativity. That when you create something, whether it just be a poem, or it be you make something in the kitchen, or you write something that is uniquely from your heart, that's being a co-creator with God. Creativity is being a co-creator with God, and that vocational arousal. And if that subject right there, that's in Barbara Marx Hubbard's, she's got a book called Birth 2012, really great book. There's that vocational arousal, and oh, just great book. Great book. And it's got 7 or 8 teachers in the back. One of them, of course, my buddy, Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith. So he's in the back as well. And so I want to circle back to self-love and self-acceptance, that takes a lot of courage. And for me, that deep commitment. I was in session with a man the other day, and he really admitted that he hasn't really cultivated a circle of friends and reached out because he doesn't want to be judged, and he's been betrayed by a few people in the past. How many people are like that? How many people are walking around so isolated and alone, and they're scared of coming out of that shell because they're really scared of being judged? Am I not describing you? You're scared of stepping out in friendships, in your career, in your job, in reaching out to people, really opening your heart because you're afraid of being judged. You care too much about what people think, and that's okay. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that's the human condition. And so the antidote to that, remember I talked in the beginning, everyone's afraid of being humiliated or embarrassed. The antidote to that is self-love and self-acceptance. The antidote to that is to commit right now in this moment. So when I was in the session with the man, I said, can you commit in this moment to be self-loving and self-accepting? That if something comes up, you will love it. And you know, and when I ask that in session and you got somebody looking, you know, deep within your somebody holding space for your greatness, it's like looking to the mirror of truth, and you really see, okay, can I? You know, look in the mirror today if you haven't done this and say, can I commit in this moment? And if you feel part of you that goes, ooh, no, then be with that. Because about half of you will have that come up. Like, no, I really can't. Some of you will have an automatic answer like, oh, yeah, of course I can. Yeah, sure. But it's got to be that soulful commitment. You know where you've made a commitment, a contract with yourself, and you never went back? That kind of commitment, that kind of conviction, that's the kind of agreement I want you to make with yourself. And that, excuse me, to understand that takes practice. To understand that you make that conviction, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to fall off the wagon another 5,000 times. What will happen is you'll catch it a lot sooner. Rather than spending a year or two in that self-abuse and self-blame, it'll be a few weeks, and then a few days, and then it's a few hours. And as you keep on practicing, courageously practicing self-love and self-acceptance, it will get down to hours and minutes. And again, like I've said in other shows, I think I'm down to hours, sometimes minutes, but hours. I don't spend days in things much anymore. But again, who knows? You know, my life is in the hands of God. What is in my power is my choice. My choice is to be self-love and self-accepting. And I know the power of that. The second thing that's really important, so that you can step out of that box of caring too much about what people think or fearing judgment, not really having the deep friendships that you desire, and not really having those deep connections in your career, because it's through people that you grow, you know. It's through networking about with other people that you really, your career grows. It's community and collaboration that's going to allow your career to grow, that's going to allow your life to grow. We need other people. God expresses through people. And so if you are not reaching out to people or opening up to people, I mean, maybe you're in a group of people, but you're all kind of closed, you know. You all kind of stand there and you're all, you know, let's say you're at work or you're at church, but no one's really connecting. You know the difference between being around people and connecting? You know where you have that deep heart-to-heart conversation with a friend or your spouse? I tell you, you can have that with more than one person in your life, that intimacy. Intimacy is not just with your spouse or just with your closest girlfriend. You could have that intimacy with a group of friends, with a group, believe it or not. And that's what we're moving into from this state of competition and hierarchy that we've really been existing in the planet. We're moving into more of a collaborative, cooperative, communication, connecting way of living. I love the, I mentioned this a few shows ago, but the movie I Am, and he talks about how the survival of the fittest, the Darwin theory of survival of the fittest, that's only mentioned two or three times in his book, and that love, cooperation, and collaboration is mentioned 90 times in Darwin's book. It's just that some people got a hold of the book and focused on those two things and really wanted to strengthen our illusion of, you know, got to fight for control, fight for power. You know, and the power and control that you fight for is not really the power and control that you really want anyways. The power and control that you want is the grace of God, and that's through surrender and self-acceptance. You get it? That as you let go to who you truly are. As you let go and you release the need to be right, and you release the need to care so much about what they think. You know, people that you're angry with, you know, people that you don't like, it's only because you're still caring what they think. If you truly didn't, not from I don't care what you think, you know, screw you type kind of energy, that's still caring what they think. You know, you can't hate someone that you don't care what they think about you. So, when you really get to a place of who you are in love, who you are in God, which is really becoming more and more identified with your true essence, it's not anything that you have to fight for in the world. You know, that's the spiritual truths are all simple. And that's why when you have the aha or the insight that comes after the surrender, it's always something really simple, but it's so like the one that I love that I mentioned earlier, that choice is a function of acceptance. I've circled back to that spiritual truth about 50 times, 60 times, I don't know, I haven't counted. But circling back, what I mean by that is every time I return to that law, that truth, I know it on another level. See, people still think that spiritual growth is about getting somewhere, going somewhere. But it's really coming back home within oneself. It's coming back to those truths that never change, that we're all one, that there's nothing to fight for, prove, or struggle for. You're already a precious, precious child of love, of God, of Spirit, and that all your needs are met. That when you really let go and open up, you'll see the answer that's already there. You'll see the solution that's already there. You'll see the good that's been waiting for you to see it. Yeah, even as your life is right now, like even as if your life is really crappy, I promise you, as you get your focus off the crap, if you start letting go and you start loving yourself, You'll begin to see some magic within you, and you'll begin to see beyond that. Again, you can't see beyond the stuff if you're still energetically fighting with it. Again, that's why self-love and why acceptance is so powerful. If you want to read more about acceptance, I have the book, Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful. You can get it on Amazon.com. I also have a few copies here at Accepted As I Am Center. I also have many self-acceptance teachers, close to 30 now, that have been trained in these principles that are in, want to look for them in your area. You'll see if there's some in the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide that you'll see they'll put using via the self-acceptance process, and that's what you want to look for. Also, I have Magnificent You, which is a collection of articles over the last couple of years. And most recently, which has just been born, is Self-Acceptance Process. And the Self-Acceptance Process is it takes the components of why self-acceptance is so powerful and it puts it in a 15-week process. I'm so excited about that book. It has graphs, pictures. It's very easy to understand. And you can go to iUniverse, I as in identification, I, the letter I, universe.com, and just put in self-acceptance process and it will come up. It should be available on Amazon in a couple weeks. Also, I'll be having a retreat in September, and it's the self-acceptance process retreat, Be the Light. It's up at Song of the Morning, and it will go from Thursday to Sunday. It's phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. So that's September 27th to the 30th, and you can call here at Accepted As I Am for that, 734-455-1438, 734-455-1438. And I'm also having every third Thursday and every first Sunday, I'm having a self-acceptance community healing and meditation group. So we use these principles. See, I don't talk as much in the gatherings and in the workshops. I'm very much, very, very, very much about people realizing their own power. And so in the self-acceptance community healing meditation groups, I have people right away using these principles on themselves, but on each other. Because one of the greatest ways to realize who you are in God is to give and serve. And, of course, to give and serve from a place of not trying to care what people think about you, not trying to be a good little girl or boy for God, and not giving because you feel you have to or you're obligated or feel guilty. There's a big, big, big difference because most people serve and give with that intention to prove their godliness. I feel like they have to give. But when you get to a place when you just give because you want to, you give because you feel love in your heart, and that's what you practice in the gatherings. Every third Thursday, every first Sunday, you practice giving because it feels great. Because feeling good is feeling God, and as you serve and give. So we do those little practices, and I call them little because they're easy, but they're profound in how they help to shift things. We use them on each other, and it really shows you that you are a healer, that you have something to teach, something to give. And the next one is going to be August 5th, and it's going to be from 12 to 2. And then after 2 o'clock, we're having a vegetarian and raw food potluck. Yummy! So it's going to be August 5th from 12 to 2. Also, I'm going to be having here August 31st will be a movie night, and we're going to see the movie called Transforming Teachers. If you haven't seen this movie, it's really great. It's with Robert Thurman, who's a renowned Buddhist teacher. He is Uma Thurman's dad, but he's phenomenal. If you've never heard him speak, he's not in Hollywood. He's worked directly with the Dalai Lama, or rather the Dalai Lama has worked with him. But Robert Thurman will be teaching in the movie, and then Dr. Michael Beckwith as well. And I'm going to provide raw organic treats. And any donations that you make that evening are going to go to Animals Asia. It helps with trapped bears. So that'll be August 31st, starting at 8 o'clock here at Accepted As I Am Center. All right, so I'll circle back to some of that stuff later on. And you can always – I don't have all these things posted on my website. I'm just not really good at keeping the website updated. But you can go to Facebook, and that I'm pretty good at keeping that updated. People tend to show up, though. I tell you what, you know, you just send the vibration out. People show up. We had about close to 30 people last Thursday gathering. It was just recently. Next Thursday gathering will be August 16th. But you can go to Facebook. It's Barbara White, B-A-R-B-R-A, White. And then just friend me, and I send out, put a posting on or send out invites for different things coming up. So, all right. So let's talk to Lynn Warrington. I got to get back to the Blog Talk Radio show here. We have about 15 minutes, and I'm sure she has some great questions or things she'd like to say, because she also, too, is a complete blessing of God, and I want to hear what she has to say about stuff that's been said. And Lynn?
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. I can't even tell you. Every time you just blow me away. Every time you speak, it's just so full of wonderful knowledge. It's exactly the things that I have been struggling with. You're speaking to me. So I do have some questions and some things that I'd like you to expand on. Do you think, this is my question, that one can get caught up in this acceptance process so that then you don't ever step fully into the shining being that you are created to be? Can you get caught up in the doing of it? You know, do you know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Well, I'd say a few things. I think one is we have to remember that all our tools are for one purpose, and that's to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we approach self-acceptance with I'm going to figure myself out, it can be a continual process, because there's really no logic to self-hate. There's no logic to fear. There's no logic to anger. There's no logic to why you were abused. Or not you in particular, I'm talking people, because I know
yes,
this
right.
history, but I'm saying that there's no logic to the suffering of the world. And if you're trying to find logic in it, so it will never be found. And I think a component, number three, so there's admit, and then there's accept, and then there's act. And if some people can get stuck in the middle and not begin to act, not to have that conviction of their mind, like I have choice here. I can either choose to go back into this old way of thinking, or I can choose to go this way. And also, or you know, so choice is really important there, and then choice brings the yes factor. And the yes factor is where you, like, there was somebody I had a session with just recently that was like that, and I could tell she'd been doing a lot of inner work, and I said, when's the last time you danced? When's the last time you made love with your husband? When's the last time you, and
yeah,
she's like,
right.
She smiled from ear to ear, and she goes, I get what you're saying.
Yes, I get it too now. Right, right. Because we're so used to our minds. This is where I get stuck personally. Is that I, the mind, the actions of the negative thinking or the working it out, anything to keep you from your light. So I get stuck in that. That I don't act. I'm trying to go back through my notes because I've got pages of notes. But I get stuck in the acceptance. Is that what I'm doing? I get stuck in the acceptance step and the mechanics of acceptance, and never take the action. Okay, take an example, and I'm trusting that some other people are having these questions too. But okay, take an example. Now, you said that, you know, we can get stuck in the single belief that we acquired when we were young. So so you have that belief, and you recognize it, you admit it, you recognize, this is this belief coming up applying to this particular situation. This may be this opportunity to step out in a new job or whatever. Okay, I'm admitting that I see this, that I'm recognizing I have this belief that's holding me back. Okay, so just go, okay, in that situation with that fear, just, okay, then we go into the we admit it stage. Now what? Using that one fear, okay, from
sure,
keep us
sure.
from stepping
so,
out.
So, So if there's a fear there around, let's say, stepping out at work, then and there's a belief that if you do, somehow you won't be safe, or somehow something bad's going to happen, then you would feel that belief like a wound, like suffering, and then you would be with it. And as you witnessed it, you brought into that compassionate witnessing, there would be a release of it.
Okay, how do we witness it? How do we bring it into the compassionate witnessing? What steps do we take?
Great, great question.
Okay.
Well, stop trying to figure it out, not you personally, but people in general. So you feel
That's okay,
it.
Okay,
so
me
you,
too.
Well, I mean, it's for all of us, but so
yes.
You feel it. So you, what is that belief feel like? So let's say that belief is, if I really step out, I'm going to be hurt. And so you feel that belief, and you feel it in the body. And I guide people to also, where is it in your body? Now, that question is not, like, if you can't find where it is in the body, no worries. But that also helps you to get in touch with. So where is it in the body, that belief? And you could even go as far as to say, well, what color is it? And what texture is it? Now, again, you may or may not get answers to these questions. It's really for you to be, it's a step or a tool to come into that compassionate witnessing of that belief. So once you feel it and you get a sense of it and you begin to really welcome it into your heart and you use those questions of what color is it, what texture is it, how does it feel in the body, there is a softening that happens. It's kind of like the point at which the baby comes out of the birth canal, or there's this unfolding that happens that you, so as you're watching it, you're breathing into it, there's a letting go that happens that is orchestrated by the divine. Just like a cut on your arm knows how to heal, there's a process to it. There's a, not that we make the process happen, it's this process is from that compassionate witnessing and feeling, it spontaneously and organically releases.
Okay, so I think then, all right, I'm picturing in my mind, you go into a quiet room. You take some time away. That's the thing I think maybe we don't do, is we don't ever sit by ourselves, and then we acknowledge what we admit. What is the turmoil? And a lot of times you've told me, like, for example, if you feel a pain in your shoulder, many times that's just your body saying you have something that you haven't dealt with, or some way that your attention is snagged, the feeling in your stomach, the upset in your stomach, or the headache, or the physical feelings sometimes that give us this trigger. So we take the time, we honor our feelings, go into a room, sit quietly. I'm just trying to reiterate
it
for those
you got
who
it.
Are like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you're
okay.
Right. There's people that need to hear this step by step. You got
right.
It. Perfect.
Because that's how I am. And so I'm sitting in this room, probably eyes closed, feeling, acknowledging, admitting what is wrong, what I'm feeling. Feeling if I can't do, okay, at this point now, do you say to yourself, do you ask yourself the question, because I think people are not in touch. Okay, they're feeling this sensation, they're feeling this anxiety, they're feeling whatever. Do then you say to yourself, what is this from? I think there's a disconnect there that we're so used to that the questions that you ask yourself to really identify even, I mean, that's a step missing for many people. The impossibility of even connecting that feeling to.
Yeah, I
Go
mean,
ahead.
You really don't, the less you can want to figure out where it's from.
Okay, good.
I mean, that can, you know, as you being a facilitator, and those are questions that you can use for your client, your student, to help them get in touch with it. But those are dangerous questions to ask in yourself, because if you start saying, where is this from, and what age it is, you're really going to fall into the trap of trying to figure it out. And it's
good.
In the process
okay.
of feeling it without trying to figure it out, without trying to analyze it, without, you know, you wouldn't have a bowel movement and turn around and try to figure out the bowel movement. You
right,
just let it go.
Right.
So it's the same process of, you're right, you know, that's so important to tell people to get away from, you know, the cell phone, the computer, to be still, go into a room, close their eyes. If they admit, yeah, I believe that if I really, open up to friends. I'm just going to be betrayed again. And you just be with that belief, and as you be with it, and it begins to soften, there will be a spontaneous release. Or as you feel it soften, you can ask yourself this question, which is, can I let this go? And if you try to make it that belief go away, you say, I want to let this go, and you really haven't softened it. You haven't done what Lynn's talking about, be with it for a while, whether it be one sitting or two sittings. And you haven't brought some gentleness, some self-compassion to it, some loving that belief like a wound, not trying to fix it, not trying to analyze it. You be with it. You know, like when a child is crying, you just hold them, you be with them. That's, your beliefs are just like that. They're like little crying children, and you want to be with them. And as you be with it for a little bit, then choice is a function of acceptance. So then you do have choice, and you could say, can I let this go? And you have the power to do that. It can be that simple. So you've taken people through that process and yourself, Lynn, where you say, okay, what's the belief? And it comes up, and you walk them through a being with it for a little bit, and then you feel, it's almost like when the cake is ready. There's a moment that you can ask yourself, and I know you've used it with other people, where you say, can you let this go? And they go, yeah. And it goes, now, if that person happens to get a no, then you tell them to hold on. You ask yourself, or you tell the person, can you hold on to this even tighter? because if you tell them to hold on to it even tighter, you're giving them permission to do what they're already doing. And whatever we give permission to actually releases. So as they, oh, yeah, I can hold on to it tighter, then it goes, and it releases.
Okay.
Yeah, and that process, I know you've learned it, and it's a recap for you, but that process is also in the book Self-Acceptance Process as well. So.
Right. But, you know, sometimes even though I have done it with myself frequently, I do it with other people, sometimes you get caught up in the mechanics because that's the way the world functions. We have to separate ourselves from that the world's consciousness, and accept our self-acceptance, our inner consciousness. And it's that we get caught up in, we forget. We just forget. So
even though it's so important and so dire to do this work, it's also remembering that it's in a light heart, and that people initially, I remember for years, my sister, before she started doing her own inner work, would say, you look at stuff too much. Things are just not that deep.
Yeah.
And you know what? They are. There is a symbolic meaning to everything. But even with that said, and now she's in a totally different place, but even with that said, it's also continuing to have a light heart and knowing that it's joy that we are really, allowing ourselves to be joyful. Now, independent of any condition and circumstance, we get to glorify the One.
I like that. Independent of any condition or circumstance. I like that because circumstances are that's assuming that, okay, when circumstances are ideal, I'll be joyful.
Yeah. Yeah, when this changes, I'll be happier. When I lose the weight or I get the job, I'll be joyful. Or when he stops smoking, I'll be joyful.
Right. And so the ability to have peace in any given moment is what we're striving for. Because I remember you said that to me, exactly what you said. You said, you know, it won't take you, because I said at the beginning too, as you know, it is a, I don't want to say painful process, but it is a little bit. And then
It takes courage.
Does.
You know, it takes courage to look within.
Yes. Yes, to face it. And then you think, okay, do I want to be uncomfortable as I was, or shall I be uncomfortable at least striving towards a more complete, more peaceful me. So
yes,
When you
we are down to 60 seconds.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's so. If you would like to, if you're out in where do you live, Lynn?
Trenton.
So if you're out in the Trenton area, Lynn is a self-acceptance teacher. You can call her at 734-675-6634. She also is on Facebook, Lynn Warrington, right? You're on Facebook as well?
Right. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Great. All right, Lynn, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And what Lynn was talking about, too, is about, you know, that chicken that's in the chicken egg, eventually it becomes toxic and you need to expand. And the same thing with our earth. The earth is like a big womb, and we are now ready to move out of this paradigm. We are now ready to grow. And the womb that we have created, the paradigm of thought that we have created, we have outgrown it. And it's now time to move into a greater understanding of who and what we truly are. And I thank you so much for joining the Accepted As I Am radio show. I am Barbara White. And that was Lynn Warrington, and I look forward to connecting with you either on the radio show or in one of the gatherings I mentioned. Thank you, and much love to you.